All right, so the worship leader is the broad topic. This session, we're going to look at how to evaluate and manage the music program of the church. Evaluation of the service. Record services. Mm-hmm. We do that?
We do.
We audio record and
video. And sometimes not everything gets put up. It depends on who's available to do that week.
Right.
But typically they get put online, and that makes it really easy to go back and look at it.
Right. So we put it on our website, too, so everyone gets to look at
it. Yeah.
Things you check, the balance, balance of instruments versus sound. I mean, the biggest issue or the biggest thing to balance is you have a bunch of instruments playing, mm-hmm. and then you have singers singing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes sound people have a hard time with getting that balance.
Right. You don't want the instruments overpowering the singers, but you don't want the singers so loud that you don't hear the instrumentalists
right.
either. So, yeah. That's tricky.
It is tricky. The tightness means...
Is everybody together? Are you all playing together? Are the singers that's probably coming in there, are they coming in at the right time?
Okay. Yeah. Clarity. What do I mean by that? I think it's the words. I mean, they're singing some words, and we're trying to, could we hear the words, or are they kind of mumbling through them? Or they're not coming in on time, so we're getting half the first word,
right.
things like that. The look. Mm-hmm.
Does it look like they're comfortable, enjoying themselves? Are they
moving?
Worshiping?
How about dress?
Yeah, every church has their own dress code.
Right.
At least I hope they do.
Yeah.
Is it modest but not grunge, probably?
Yeah.
Does it reflect the people coming to your church?
Yeah.
You don't want everybody on the stage to be in ratty jeans, but the people in your congregation come dressed up, or vice versa.
How about for women? Maybe.
Well, modesty. You don't want to, as a person, be distracting from worship.
Right.
So the way you dress can be distracting.
Transitions,
mm-hmm.
Did we get them? Was that dead space in there? Give periodic specific feedback to the instrumentalists and the vocalists individually.
Mm-hmm. So it's a good idea to have a meeting, let's say once a year, with each person, just a one-on-one, coffee time, whatever, to say, okay. And this is the time for them, too. They might have some frustrations that then they're given the opportunity to voice that, but you're able to say, hey, I've really seen this growth in you, or I see that you tend to want to play all the time, and I keep telling you you can't play here, but you do, and that's really frustrating for me, and this is why.
So why is it important to do that individually rather than...
Yeah,
you're
not going to call people out on the carpet in front of everybody.
Right.
That's rude.
Yeah, well, people dig in their heels. And,
right.
Give general feedback to the whole band weekly.
Mm-hmm. Right, you want to encourage,
So where do you do that? At the practice?
At practice... when we have our pre-practice time of devotions and sharing. Or, I can send individual emails out as well to the whole group maybe. Hey, good job, whatever.
Evaluate and record each week on a scale of 1 to 10 on how enthusiastically did the congregation sing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the goal... of the whole leading of the music is to get the congregation singing. And I think, just to keep track of, this week, how well did they do? Next week, how well did they do? At the end of the year, how well did we do?
And why was that? Did I have three fairly new songs in a row? Maybe I shouldn't do that again.
Right.
So you're trying to find out
why. What works and what doesn't work. So I wrote in there, keep track of this in a record book. that, you know, it should be right there so we can, you know, a year later you can look at it or you can see a trend. Or I think if we don't record it, we really just don't do it.
Right,
you know?
And the whole point of evaluation is for improvement.
Yeah.
It's not to be,
yeah,
you know.
Not to put anyone down.
No.
Questions to evaluate your worship songs. Are they in the right key?
Mm-hmm.
So again, was it singable?
Right.
Sometimes, you know, we sang one, I thought, last Sunday, that just is high.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, even though you lowered it and so on, it was just like, wow, I'm straining.
Still too high.
I'm straining to do it, and I'm a tenor.
And I have trusted people who maybe aren't even on the worship team, but I'll go,
yeah,
you know, how was that? Was that too high, too low? Yeah. You know, how'd that feel for you?
Right. You know, why, okay, to go back on why these songs are high and why sometimes we like to keep them there is because it has a certain energy,
mm-hmm,
the way the artist did it. And then when you lower it, it's like, for some, it's like, well, it just doesn't seem as punchy.
Right.
Partly because you're not used to it, but sometimes the song does lose a little bit,
mm-hmm,
when it gets lowered.
Mm-hmm.
Are the songs theologically and biblically okay? Does it fit what we believe as a church? Is this really true? Is this in the Bible, or is this just some person's thought that should be evaluated? Can the average person in your congregation learn it in 3 weeks?
Yeah, and typically if I'm introducing a new song, I will do it 3 weeks in a row just for that very reason. And then again, that's even a little difficult because people miss a week here or there.
And then they only sing it twice. So
right.
The problem is the worship people tend to listen to songs way more than the average person.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already heard the song 20 times, and then they practiced it another 20 times. So they've listened to this song 40, 50, 60 times before the congregation hears it once.
All right.
And then they sing
possibly
it once, and then the next week they sing it twice. And then they sing it 3 times. I mean, so that and then by then the worship team is sick of it.
Right. So we've sung it 60 times to their 3.
Yeah. So then the worship team really wants to keep doing a new song,
mm-hmm,
and a new song and a new song because they're sick of them, because but the average person hasn't done that. So
right,
you really have to be kind of savvy about the average person. And can they learn this? How many times, some of them listen to Christian radio, some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to just be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a balanced songbook? You know, in the end, at some point, you got to look at your songbook, and are we missing some of the topics that we should be,
mm-hmm,
singing? Keep track of all this in a record book, someplace where you keep track of the songs that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you're planning for the next service, you should be able to look back and go, when have we done that song that I was thinking about last? If we did it only 2 weeks ago, maybe I'll pick something else.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we haven't done this song in a long time, maybe that's the song I'll pick. But if you don't keep track of the songs, or like special events, Easter, well, what did we do last year?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to look back and go, well, we sang these songs, then we did this, then we had this reading. Well, we might do some of that again this week, or we'll change this part of it. So it's just a lot easier if you keep track of the services and what you've done in the past and keep them for years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go back to what you did at Christmas time 3 years ago,
mm-hmm,
and people wouldn't remember that. Yearly worship evaluation questions. How many people learned guitar this year? Which is a weird question. What does that have to do with the worship team? But remember, as a worship leader, as a worship director, you're not just in charge of the worship team, you're in charge of the culture of worship at your church. So it's not like, well, I'm in charge of 10 people or 20 people or whatever it is that you have on your worship team. I am in charge of the whole music thing, the language of music here at this church, and how many people, average people, am I helping do something? How many learned the keyboard this year? How many of the congregation play an instrument of any sort, you know, a flute, a kazoo, something? How many people learned how to sing a part this year? You know, I know a few years back we had a big push for this hymn sing, learn a part thing, and we had like the hymn of the month,
mm-hmm,
and people had to pick a part, and they had to listen to it, and then on the, I think it was the last Sunday of the month, we divided the congregation. Okay, everyone that's been working on the melody, which is really silly because it's easy. You know the melody, right? Okay, all of you that didn't really want to learn a part, go over here. And then all the alto people go over here, and all the tenor people over here, and all the bass people. And now you have this group of people singing your part
so
with you.
A choir, basically.
Yeah. And then we ended our service that way. Mm-hmm. And it was like kind of like a reward. And then we started the next song for the next month. Mm-hmm. Okay, you do that, and then you kind of let it go. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I think we need to do that again. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how enthusiastically did your congregation sing this year? Was this year better than last year? Are people actually singing? How many songs were written by members of your congregation? How many of the new songs did your congregation learn? You don't want it too many. You don't want it too few. What songs should you drop from your rotation? You know, they're tired, they're old. Maybe they were never good that good in the first place. It's like, you know, we need to eliminate them.
All right, back to the number 7 there. I think different churches have different amounts, and that's fine. You know, I know certain churches, you get six new songs in a year, that's it. So one every other month. Others are, well, every month we'll introduce a new one. We were doing that with our scripture songs. We had a new scripture song every single month, which was a lot, probably.
It was a lot.
But then you evaluate that, and you go, is that too much? Is that too little? But it gives you direction so that you are specific with what you're going to introduce. You don't just do the flavor of the month. There's some intentionality about it.
Right. Managing instrumentalists and vocalists. Decide on the praise team's of rotation. Decide on whether you're going to have praise teams or the rotation system. There's like two systems of organizing people. If you only have enough for one group, then it's whatever, that's your group. Mm-hmm. But when you start growing and you start developing the talent, all of a sudden you have two drummers, you have three guitar players, you have 10 singers. And there's kind of two different ways you can go. Some churches will do the, you know, we have separate bands. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's this band, and they do their thing, and then we have another band. Or what you're doing is you just sort of rotate people in and out mm-hmm. at different times, so you're never really just this band or that band. You're singing with these people this time, and the next week you're off, and that kind of thing. In either one, you know, it works. They both have their pluses and minuses. But number two, keep a list of vocalists, you know, their voice range, bass, tenor, alto, like who is your people, and keep a list. What parts can they sing, if any, mm-hmm. you know, knowing your people, who can sing a part, who can't. Keep a list of the instrumentalists, the instruments they play, maybe how gifted they are, so you know who to, you know, ask to do what. Maintaining a schedule. The multiple praise band method. The problem or one challenge that you have when you have multiple praise bands is you have to make sure that the song lists for each week are balanced. In other words, sometimes when you have, like, say, two worship bands, the one worship band does whatever mm-hmm. it wants to do and picks whatever songs it wants. And the other band picks the songs that it wants, and so then one introduces a new song, 1 week, and then the next band is on for the next week, and they just totally ignore it.
Or might do a totally new song.
Yeah, so now we have two new songs in 2 weeks.
Right.
Or one, you know, so in some ways you can have two bands, but they got to be on the same page.
Right.
And they have to balance each other, and you really can't just let bands go and do what they want to do.
Again, intentional about what you're doing. Because it's for the sake of the congregation,
right.
Not for the sake of, ooh, I want to do this one.
Right. Make sure new songs carry over for 3 weeks in a row, regardless of what the band is playing on a particular service. On the rotation method, rotate people in and out of the band based on abilities, blend, and availability. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a circus sometimes because you want, you know, this strong singer with maybe this person who is more of a support system, and
or they're learning, they're new to it, and
or you know, you want a good guitar player that can do something that particular week mm-hmm. because the songs are difficult. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, either method is hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's difficult, but you have to be again intentional and sort of mix and match people so that you get a nice balance. You know, those two people never really sound good together.
Right, their voices don't blend.
They don't blend very well, and so then you have to work that in.
Right.
Or these two don't get along. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that can happen.
Yeah.
Hand out a schedule for at least 2 months at a time. Mm-hmm. So thinking ahead, people like to plan or you'll have to be rewriting your schedule mm-hmm. all the time. So you let them know in advance. A few people have to change a little bit, and then it gets set. Adjust if necessary. Okay, managing songs. Keep the songbook of your church up to date and in order. Mm-hmm. Rotate songs in and out in a balanced manner as you go. You know, there's praise songs, there's petition songs, there's hymns, there's scripture songs, there's new songs. So, you know, manage those and, you know, you want to balance. Number three, new songs should be in rotation at least 3 weeks in a row if you expect your congregation to learn them. So again, that's part of the management thing. I know we've said this before, but you know, now as you're managing and putting the songs and thinking 2 months in advance, remember you have to put those in 3 weeks in a row. On average, churches can only learn 12 to 15 new songs a year.
And some would disagree and say less. So
yeah.
It just depends on
yeah.
your church.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not a lot.
No.
I mean, it's on the one hand, it's not a lot. On the other hand, it is a lot because once a month you're giving people a new song, and then you got to do it 3 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on how many songs you sing in your service, we do like probably six to seven songs, and that's a pretty good chunk of our service. But I know some churches sing a whole lot more and some churches sing a whole lot less. Managing music venues. We're not going to talk a lot about this, but the worship music director is really in charge of not just the worship service. Of course, the worship service, but then there's the whole kids singing thing. You have Sunday school things, and I know we have that, and we have rotation of people who will come in and lead some of that singing. You have youth bands, perhaps, you know, the youth groups and kids that are trying to learn how to sing or play instruments. We would have praise nights. We used to have those every month. That was where we would sing some songs together, but we would allow people that are learning the piano or the guitar or something to get up and do something. Concerts, we do a big Christmas thing. Every year we do a few other, you know, singing in the park and so on. So the music director has to sort of put all that together. Talent nights, we had one a couple months ago mm-hmm. where people are encouraged to either sing or do some kind of talent. All those things keep people working and people trying.
Mm-hmm.
That's most of it. Karaoke nights. I was just on a mission trip to Guatemala. And one of the nights we had karaoke night, and we had like 20 people from our church on this particular trip. And I heard people sing that night that I'd never heard sing before, and a couple of them did really well. It's like, you know, so if you're trying to find talent, I mean, it takes quite a bit to really sound good with karaoke. You're on your own. You got to follow the thing and bouncing ball or whatever it is. And, you know, all those things give people a shot at trying and getting off the dime of doing nothing. You got people that think more highly of themselves than they ought, but then a lot of people think a lot lower of themselves than they ought. And so you want all these opportunities. So it's not just, so as a worship person, you're not just thinking, okay, I got to worry about the worship service. The worship service is everything. No, the worship service is just one thing. It's the culture of music. It's people playing in their homes and when they go on vacation and when they sit around the fire and they sing and they use this language of praise that God has given us.